This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of October, 1954. The title of this lecture is Route 1, Step 7. This tape is 15 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Now the next process I'm going to tell you about is a very, very interesting process, but it's very destructive of happiness, and it is one which is done with considerable caution on the part of the auditor. Route 1-7. Route 1-7. Have pre-clear, let go, and find many places where he is not. Now, the auditing command associated with this is a very simple thing. Find a place where you are not. You repeat this command many times until any communication line developed with a question has been rendered constant. Now, you understand that we have the pre-clear let go because that's the last part of R26. You tell him to let go before you tell him to do anything else. Actually, this little point belongs with 6, doesn't it? After you've told him to hold the two back anchor points of the room in groups, tell groups that or anything else, for heaven's sakes, always tell them to let go, because there's some yap who will go on holding on till the end of time and doing the other process while he's still holding on to the back anchor points of the room. So you tell him to let go and find some places where he's not. And that really is the auditing command, which immediately ensues after R1-6, which is hold two back anchor points of the room. So you say to him, the next time that you say anything to him, which is R1-7, you say, let go and find some places where you're not. Now, this is very destructive of happiness, this process is. And it really shouldn't be run lightly on somebody whose happiness is very badly in question. This person's happiness is very badly in question. You ought to be right back there at R1-5. You shouldn't be doing this process at all. Find some places where he's not. Well, this is a curious thing. It can be run on interiorized people. What you're asking for is certainty. You want people to get points where they're certain they are not. Now, here is the first time in intensive procedure that we enter into this thing called certainty. And boy, we enter into it with both feet. If you let somebody say to you, well, I'm not in the roof, not in the backyard, not a lot of places around here where I'm not. Yeah, well, I'm not any place in the room. What are you talking about? I'm not any place around here. That's a silly question. You've got your nerve putting them on Route 1. Because this person would have shown up as an obsessive communication lag or something of the sort early in processing with two-way communication. He shouldn't be on Route 1. But let's say by some slip of something or other, you got him on the Route 1, and you ask him this question, now let go and find some places where you're not. And he says, I'm everywhere, I'm not everywhere, I'm not over there, 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 not over there. You can just count on the fact that you're dealing with a lot of junk. Let's slow this guy down, the way to run this process. Let's slow this guy down to a point where there'll be one place in this or some other universe where he's not. Just get one. Where he's absolutely certain he is not. You see that? We want a place where he's absolutely certain where he's not. So this fellow who's giving you yap, 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 he isn't certain he's in none of those places. Chances are he's buttered all over the universe. By the way, the last person who did this to me on a little bit of a test on the thing said they were exteriorized. They were run, by the way, right down to R1-7. And it was R1-7 the auditor caught him. And the auditor came around to me afterwards and says, you know, I don't believe this person's really exteriorized. Why not? Well, I don't know. It's just queer, but I've run these processes and this person says he can do these processes. She can do these processes all right. But you know, for some reason, I don't think this person's doing these processes. Well, I said, have you run any HC? Well, no, this person didn't have any appreciable communication lag. So I got a hold of this pretty clear that this auditor had run up to R1-7. And this person would tell you, great glibness, they were insulted at the idea of being told that they couldn't find some place. Well, they could do all this. Do all this sort of thing very easily. Kindergarten stuff. There's nothing to this. There's nothing to this. There wasn't anything to this at all. So you know what I did? I said to the person, I said, what's your name? You know what that person said? Said, why do you want to know? And I said, well, what's your name? Well, do you mean my maiden name, married name? What name do you mean? I said, well, what's your name? And the person said, you've got my name around here. You know who I am. I mean, we're not strangers or anything, so you've got my name. And I said, what is your name? I was still asking this person's name 1/2 hour later. And I had yet to get this person to say, my name is Smith. The person's name was not Smith. How do you like that? In other words, this auditor had made a blunder up there with two-way communication, in that he had never understood communication lag. Now, I'll give you a comparable one. The boys in the HCA course recently made the same blunder. Somebody had been around up there for 3-4 weeks, and they didn't think he had any communication lag. And do you know that in 3 or 4 weeks, this person had never answered one question directly that anybody had ever put to him? These HCAs were perfectly willing to let this guy's utterance of sound be an answer. And to most people, the utterance of a sound is a sufficient answer. You know, what is your name? What do you want to know for? Well, there was no lag there, was there? No silence. Well, isn't what you're looking for. You want a direct answer. You want this person to say, my name is Smith. And this person at no time anywhere along the line had done other than give a completely indirect dodge. And the instructor finally got this fellow by the tie and got the students around and said, now, I want you people to look and listen here for a moment. Now, how many legs are there on the chair you're sitting in? Oh, so I'm not really sitting in a chair. Yap, 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 yap. See, we were going on at a vast rate, and the auditor kept asking this question and asking this question, and about 45 minutes later got a straight answer. And all of a sudden, every HCA knew what communication lag was. He actually answered the question put to him. How many legs were there on that chair? So this person who's saying, where he's not, you know, well, I'm not there, not there, not there. That's a form of lag. And a little bit of a test on this person will demonstrate this person usually be buttered all over the universe. They'll tell you their tone, age, and everything else. This person will also tell you they're exteriorized. They'll put a viewpoint out there someplace, an astral self or something, and tell it to walk someplace. And then they'll say they're exteriorized. A person who's exteriorized is looking from the place he is exteriorized into. See the difference? Well, you'll catch that person simply on communication lag if you know communication lag. But it's the interval of time intervening between the placing of the question and the receiving of the answer to that question. The answer to that question, you understand? No matter what appeared between, the exact answer to that question. So we only got to R17 with this pre-clear because the auditor had made a blunder. But he was at R17 and he'd started the process, and there was no time to lock off this process. It left me with the necessity of discovering some place in the universe where this pre-clear was excessively communicating was not. And we had a picnic. We had a picnic. And we found out that this person was not in universe 81 because there was no such universe. Little did that person know. But this person finally got a certainty, slowed down to a completely silent lag. So I think, no? Say, you know? You know, there's a universe out that way, I'm not in it. Gee, good news, see? Big news, big stuff. Wonderful thing had happened here. And then we found another place, finally, where the person was not. And I worked the person for a relatively short period of time. I actually worked the person less than an hour. And at the end of that hour, this person was centralized and knew where he was. And we killed the communication lag. Mind you, this person was invertedly exteriorized. That is to say, the person was in the body looking at a phaeton out there someplace saying, I am over there. Nobody'd caught this. An awful lot of auditing had gone down the drain with this person. The primary error, of course, was flubbing a two-way communication. So, although we don't pay as much attention to it today as we used to, here in R17, we have certainty entering into the picture with exclamation points. Certainty. This person has got to be certain he is not in that place. And you can hound him and badger him to the point where you don't break off two-way communication entirely until you actually do find a place where he's absolutely sure he is not. And at that moment, an individual who has, using remote viewpoints, a technical term, meaning a thetan who is afraid to look from where he is, he puts a viewpoint over there and looks from that. A person who's using remote viewpoints of one kind or another is capable of seeing from where he is. And occlusion is simply using remote viewpoints and then having the remote viewpoints go blind. See, the fellow puts something over 4 yards from him and looks with that. He doesn't look from where he is. You see? By the way, you take a look, how far is Los Angeles? You're spotting spots, and all of a sudden you get a picture of Los Angeles in front of his face. He's got a remote viewpoint parked over Los Angeles. The only reason he sees with his messed eyes, by the way, is because he's got two little gold discs, one over each eye, and he's looking with those discs. It's very amusing. He's got it all figured out that when he shuts his eyes, you see, the gold disc won't see. But the gold disc happened to be in front of the eyelids in most cases. He would keep on seeing if he didn't say, "Now my eyes are shut." So he has to turn off his own Vizio. He doesn't learn to shut his eyes. Well, these remote viewpoints are buttered all over the place, and a person then, when he's asked where he is not, will suddenly tap in onto old remote viewpoints. And these darned old remote viewpoints, they give him the idea that he's there. So you'll have this guy totally badgered. Everything and everybody, he's there. No matter what he looks at, he's there. See? No matter what he thinks of, he's there. This is obsession. And this gets the fellows twisting and shifting valences. Hey, he walks up to somebody, and this fellow's got a cough, you know. The fellow's going, and this fellow with the remote viewpoints all over the place and so forth, he probably won't even notice it, but he'll walk away from there, at least for a little while, going, something wrong with his throat. See, he's buttered all over the universe. He's got remote viewpoints out there. Well, you're asking him to recognize his own actual location when you ask him places he's not. In view of the fact that the thetan really isn't anywhere, he has to place himself by postulate. You say, "I am here, therefore I can see from here." See, he has to postulate that before he can do it. He has to be able to do that before he's stably exteriorized. And one of the ways of doing this is asking places where he's not. He'll look around finding places where he thinks he is, and he'll as is out of existence lots of these old remote viewpoints. Curious process. We play it with absolute certainty. We work with a person no matter how long. Other phenomena turn up with this, by the way. At first he finds spots way, way out, see? And then he finds spots right up close. And then he finds spots a little less further out. And then he finds spots closer. And then he finds spots a little less further out. And then he finds closer spots. And then he finds nearer spots. For instance, give him some places where you're not. "Well, I'm not in England. I'm not in South Africa. I'm not in China." He'll really be able to get these, not giving you these answers this fast. I'm not in Siberia. "I'm not in that chair right there in front of me, you see. I'm not in that other chair right in front of me. I'm not in Washington, D.C. I'm not in Los Angeles. I'm not here in the rug. I'm not in New Mexico," you know. All the time we're coming in closer, closer, and all of a sudden, like that, he's pinpointed. Here he is. And this time his Vizio will turn on if you kept up this process. Marvelous process. But remember, it's destructive with heaviness. So remember when you are running it. For heaven's sakes. Have him mock up some anchor points and pull them in. Mock up some anchor points and pull them in. Mock up some anchor. "What do you mean by anchor points?" he'll say. "Oh, gold balls or something of the sort. Just some mass. And pull it in on yourself. Not on the body. On the thetan. All right, let's find some more places where you're not, some more places where you're not, some more places where you're not, some more places where you're not. A anchor points and pull them in, A anchor points and pull them in." You'll have to remedy having this as you run the process. As mentioned in the auditor's handbook, that's why you're being trained as auditors, things I forgot to put in the handbook. If I put everything in the handbook, you wouldn't have to be trained as auditors. Okay, actually getting you to see the light, that there is no glaring light shining in your eyes. But that you are the glaring light of the world is the real reason we're training you. But we'd never mention that to him. Okay.